I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed with me, Jessica Michelle Singleton. I have an incredible guest for you today. And listen, there's going to be some of you who get a little skeptical from the jump because we're getting spirit guidey, we're getting woo-woo-y, we're talking to people in another dimension. And by people, I mean animals. Because my guest this week channels our spirit guides through canines, through animals. And it's pretty freaking cool. So this is what I need you to do. If you're a skeptic type of person who just automatically logs out on this kind of thing, just give it a shot. Listen to it. Act as if. Go, what if this is true? What would that be like? What would that mean? And then listen to what her story is, where it comes from, how this happened to her, because this woman has not been doing this her whole life. My guest, Heather Lee Strom, had an occurrence and a bit of an awakening. And that shifted things inside of her. And now she is spreading the information that she has received through that awakening and how our spirit guides often come to us in the form of animals, including our pets. For those of you on YouTube who can see my little spirit guide's head, Moki, she talks about how we might be getting lessons through animals, you know, not in the Son of Sam type of way, but, you know, believe it or not, you might find this hard to believe, but some people might be more open to emotional expression or learning things if it's from animal life. And, you know, I'm not saying this is a dog all of a sudden starts speaking English to you. I'm just saying, and if you didn't pick up the sarcasm there, you've never met people who are like, I just love animals way more than people, which is so many of us, which is, as she tells me in this interview, part of why this is going on, why she suddenly was able to have these messages, learn about these higher beings trying to communicate with us to make Earth and our lives here more productive and better and do the things we're supposed to do, spread the love we're supposed to love. Spread the love we're supposed to spread. Her book, Canine Spirit Guides, The Healing Power of Man's Best Friend, is pretty incredible. And for those of you listening, I have a copy that I am loving. And I'm going to be giving away a copy. But you got to join the Facebook group. So check out the link in the show notes. Join the Facebook group. I will be talking about how I'm giving that away in there very soon. And yeah, get ready to hear about canine spirit guides. I mean, for those of you watching on the YouTube, you can already see the cover. These depictions, which, you know, time will tell. And by time, I mean this interview of, you know, how relative they are to the actual spirit guides. Is this what they look like? Is this just art for the cover? Why don't you just wait and see and keep watching so you can actually see, you know, maybe more of what these spirit guides really look like. Heather Lee Strom, nice lady. And again, this isn't something she's been doing her whole life. She was not someone going around thinking she was talking to spirit guides. And that's what I love about this, is that it's someone who was just living a so-called, quote, regular earthly life, cut off, disconnected from this, and then had an experience. And those are the people I love to hear from on things like this. And I hope you do too. So without further ado, here is my wonderful guest, to talk all about canine spirit guides, Heather Lee Strom. All right, everyone. By this point, you have heard my big, long intro for our guest, but I am so excited. I'm extremely excited for this interview. We have with us today professional galactic canine channel, energetic healer, and author of the book, Canine Spirit Guides, The Healing Power of Man's Best Friend, Heather Lee Strom. Heather Lee, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jessica. It's been an honor to join you today, and I'm really looking forward to interacting with you and your audience.
I am so excited about this, and I know we only have an hour, so I want to just dive in and get to know you a little.
Yeah, no, I was, as soon as we started emailing, I was like, what in the what? So, okay, for those who are not in the know at this point and have not discovered your work until this podcast, can you explain, like, you tell me what you do, and so people can hear it in your own words. And there's my dog chiming in.
Oh, she's ready. Yeah, she's ready to receive the energy. Well, I'm a galactic canine channel. Now, this is a new concept, because what I introduce in my book is groundbreaking new information about what our dogs actually do for humanity. So they, I've always been their caretaker and their guardian and their spokesperson, but I was only just activated last year. So this was part of my awakening. I was just a regular human being minding my own business. You know, here on Earth, having a terrible experience.
Classic, been there.
Couldn't figure out why I was here, because it was such a terrible place, right? And so I just was awakened. Actually, the process began during the lockdown in 2020. So, and the book just kind of birthed out of me, and I didn't understand it at first. I had no idea what it was all about, and the guides had to kind of explain it to me. I was never psychic before. I've never written a book. I've never meditated before this entire process started. Yeah.
Whoa. So okay.
It was a very active year. The book was written within 6 months.
It just kind of flowed through you.
It just puked out of me.
Wow. Okay. So that surprises me, because I was, of course, going to ask if you had had any, you know, psychic medium experiences prior to this. Let's dig in a little to kind of that experience of awakening. So you've had dogs, pet dogs, throughout your life, I assume then?
Oh yes. I've been a professional dog trainer, so I've had contact with a lot of dogs.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. How do I want to phrase this because I know I have a mix of listeners who are already like in the know with like spirit guides, which I love, psychics. And then some people who are like, what the fuck does any of this mean? excuse my language. Okay. You had like, what was the moment, or what was the like thing that clicked of where you went from just being, well, let's back up a little. Before you had an awakening and had this like realization that spirit guides are coming and communicating to you through dogs, what are some things that you now realize was this, but you just didn't know with like prior pets and dogs?
Yeah. So I was in a cocoon stage, I call it. Now, looking back on it, it was a very specific 11-year part of my life where I felt completely lost. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was going. I felt like I had been abandoned by all energies that, you know, govern us, whether it's God or spirit or whatever you want to call it. I just felt like I had been abandoned, like dropped off and left. And I just was sad and angry at the world. And no one from outside probably knew this. I just knew it. And so I was like, what, why am I here? What's the whole purpose of this experience? Can I go home? I knew there was something better out there. I didn't know the details. You know, I didn't know any of that. I just knew there was more than this. And it was very homesick for something I didn't understand. And so after the whole lockdown experience in 2020, things started to rumble inside of me. I felt like this, there was something really big coming. And during lockdown, I received a message of a symbol that my subconscious recognized. And I just was like, whoa. And when it's in the stories in the book, and when you read the book, you're going to go, whoa, because it's not anything anybody would ever see normally. No. And so this energy just washed over me, and it just felt like a big power was coming, and I knew something was coming. So I started to get ready, and I said, what do I need to do? Who do I need to be with? Help, somebody help me. I don't know what's happening. And so I just started searching intuitively for people that could help me through this process, not knowing at all what was about to happen. And so I found a psychic shaman to work with, who was my mentor throughout this entire process. I found a numerologist who was instrumental in getting everything started to kind of get me going on my path, an astrologer that was incredibly powerful and literally told me everything that was about to happen, which actually ended up happening and still is. Wow. And who else? Oh, a hypnotherapist that helped me kind of sort through what I was receiving through my meditation. So I knew I needed a team. I didn't know why. I didn't know what was about to happen. And then finally, as I start searching and start meditating, I begin to receive clues. In my dreams, I'm meeting with my spirit guides and we're having conversations and I'm taking notes without ever waking up. And then in the morning, I would read them and go, what? So that's Whoa. How I got the title of the book. And that's how I understood that I was going to be writing about dogs. But what's so non-transparent about the title of the book and what I do is that our canine spirit guides are not the essence of our dogs. They are the intergalactic version of our dogs. So dogs and all animals, actually, but for the purpose of this conversation, dogs are much more spiritually advanced than humans. And they're playing dumb.
That's the premise of this podcast, I feel like, is me does any of this mean? And they're doing that for the benefit of us to go like, yeah. No, you'll get it.
They're letting us feel like we're in charge, like we know better than them. And we really don't have a clue.
That's so funny. There's an episode of Rick and Morty that's like that, which is so funny. It's just an animated show where the dogs are like... they're pretending, and that it's just so funny that it makes you wonder if maybe one of the writers is kind of tapped into. Okay. I don't want you to, you know, obviously I don't want to give away the whole story and what the sign you saw was and everything, cause we want people to check out your book. But when you say like, something came to you, was it something like outside in the world that you saw as a sign, or was it something like a feeling? What, can you explain that?
It was a physical object that dropped from the sky.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because as someone who prior to all of this, as you said, you weren't channeling any other spirit guides. You weren't even meditating.
I didn't even know I was psychic. Yeah, I had no idea.
There had to be a moment. And this question is for the skeptics who already at this point are like, all right, what the heck? Were you like, am I crazy? What's going on? That had to feel a little insane.
Yeah, I didn't ever feel like I was crazy because I've always had an intuition that was very, very strong. Okay. But I wasn't trusting what I was hearing. Like, I thought it was just my thoughts that I was hearing.
Yeah, that you're like, this is just a weird subconscious. I've been locked up too long.
I thought it was my judgment that was coming through of myself, you know, stuff like that. When I would hear messages, I'm like, how could I know that? So my conscious mind and my ego was playing games with me, trying to tell me that, you know, oh, it's no big deal. You're just making this up. You're putting thoughts in your own head, you know, and that's why I needed the mentor, because he was my fact checker. Anytime that I had something come through, I'd be like, no, I just heard this and that. What is this true? What's up with that? And he would just always shake his head and he'd be like, you have a direct channel to source. It's huge. And you just need to trust yourself. So once I started trusting, and there's a difference between, I now know, between my own thoughts and when I'm receiving a channel or a message or a download. It has a completely different texture. It has a different urgency. Like, it's really? Like, write this down right now when it comes through. Like, I have to stop what I'm doing and either dictate or write it down, make note, because it's something that they want shared, or it's something that goes in the book, or it just tends to tie everything together, or it answers a question I had been pondering. So now I understand the difference between my own thoughts and the channeled information.
Wow. Okay. So they kind of like, it almost comes in differently, so you can sort what's
from has a different texture to it, you know, different energy to it.
Oh, there's my dog barking. that's so funny. Were you at all, as someone who had previously not been in this landscape, was there any like fear of judgment or like feeling like you had to like kind of come out as this type of person?
Yes. And that's something I had to heal, because I've had many, many, many lifetimes where I've been persecuted for being myself. So that's one thing that the canine guides healed for me, was that fear of persecution, the fear of authenticity. You know, when we're afraid to actually truly be ourselves because we're afraid of what other people would think, then it really shuts us down and it imprisons us within our own mind. And then we get all the negativity that goes along with that. And it just becomes this burial of our soul.
There's my dog that I have to tempt with treats so that she doesn't bark at the neighbors out the window. or she's like, you're giving away the goods.
Yeah.
Pipe down over there, lady.
Yeah.
wow. Okay. That's really interesting. I'm curious. So with these guides, are there guides that come to multiple people through different dogs, or does everyone have their own unique set of guides?
Well, they are a collective. So there's only over 50 of them. So, you know, there's more people than that. So they're omnipresent, and they will come through. They'll come through your dog, or they don't have to. If you want to work with them, they'll work with you openly. And most of my clients that I work with don't even have dogs. So they're just working with the canine spirit guides.
Oh, so you don't have to have it. They can still come to you. They don't necessarily have to come through the dog.
Right. Their mission is to help humanity heal deeply and quickly. And that's, they offer, and what they're telling me, an advanced technology for healing, which is why I healed so quickly. Lifetimes of pain and anguish and trauma, they just completely just ripped it out of me. And I had been trying my whole life to heal from it and nothing would work. And they just said, here, let's just take that. So they heal very deeply and very quickly if you allow them to. But so depending on what's going on in your life will determine which canine spirit guide is working with you at that moment. So it could be through that specific dog, or if you're a type of person who's only going to have one dog in your entire life, and that might be as long as a dog lives, maybe, you know, 12, 13, some of them are living 15, 18 years now.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So if you're someone who's never going to recycle your dog or get another one, then they'll swap out the guides as you need more help, a different level of help, because each guide has a very specific meaning and purpose and energy and healing that they have to offer humanity.
Okay. So is the method of coming to people through the dogs a way, like, I don't, like, is this something that you either know or has been, you know, you've been informed of through the guides? Is that a way of reaching people who would maybe be shut off to this type of thing?
Yeah. So all of us, most everybody I know who loves dogs, have a huge heart for dogs, right? I mean, yes. We just love our dogs like no other animal on this planet. And when we do that, our heart is completely open to them. And with this opening, they have the ability to connect with us very deeply through that opening. And that's why they come to us through our dogs.
Oh, wow. That's, I mean, beautiful. And we definitely all know, I mean, most of us, I'm sure, know how we feel when we see a dog or when we're with our own dog.
Yeah.
Does that mean anything for, I have on rare occasion encountered a person, very rare, thankfully, because it shocks me every time, who does not care for dogs. Does that mean anything about them spiritually?
I think it does. We're not going to hear it, you know. To me, there's also a difference between people who love cats and don't like dogs.
Yeah.
Or people who, you know, love dogs but don't love cats. I mean, there's a different frequency, right? Mm-hmm. With each animal. So that it just means that you either resonate with that frequency or you're closed to that frequency. But there are people that I work with that don't like dogs because maybe they don't like the hair, or they just don't understand them. Cause a lot of people are afraid of animals because they don't understand them. They feel like they can't trust them because they just have little experience around animals. So sometimes that's just an immature soul that doesn't know how to interact, but they'll still accept the healing of the canine guide. So we have to be careful. I mean, it can indicate if they don't like dogs that there's a missing link there, but we just have to be careful not to label it, you know, because you just never really know what the source of the hesitancy is.
Yeah, if it's like as you said, just a lack of experience or maybe even a personal trauma or like a past life trauma, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And that would need to be cleared in order for them to be able to open that space up for that affection and that connection. Yeah.
Okay. And so, and you said, I just want to ask this for clarity, because I know you said some people you work with don't even have dogs. So for clarification, these spirit guides are not like dog spirit guides. They just sometimes come to, so they could come to you without an animal. It's just how they reach some people.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's just that connection. So they're calling themselves canine spirit guides because that's the easiest way to our heart.
Yeah.
When really these guides, if you look at the pictures of the guides, they're not just dogs. They're also wild animal energies too. They're a combination of energies. So they're more of a collective.
Okay.
Than just a dog, right?
Yeah.
They're much more powerful than just a single energy, which is the whole point, because they're trying to rev up our healing on this planet.
So if one of these guides is coming to you, are you actually receiving the wisdom of like multiple guides? Cause I don't know how you feel or what your understanding is. My understanding is that some spirit guides are like souls who have kind of ascended past coming back and like living lives on Earth or whatever plane. And now they guide other people. But are these guides specifically, when you say sort of a collective, is it kind of a channel of the wisdom of multiple guides?
They sometimes they'll come to me as a collective, and okay. Sometimes I just have a single guide coming in, especially when I'm working with a client. Depending on what that client needs will determine which guide is coming through to help that person, as far as where they are on their path or what kind of trauma they need to heal from or what they need to know. Because I'll do a reading on the person, and the guides as a collective will tell me what that person needs to know, what their history is, what their purpose is, where they're going next, what needs to be cleared or healed or upgraded for them in order to get them firmly on their path. And then the guide that is has those skills that that person needs will then come into session with me and the client and provide that energetic shift or the healing that they need right then and there.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. God, I have so many questions at once in my brain. has there been any information given to you or like as to why you? Why are you the one that was given the knowledge of this is how they're coming in?
Yeah, I ask that a lot because I had to do a whole lot of healing and changing to get to this point. And I'm like, can I just be this quiet little introverted person I've always been and stay out of the limelight? Cause I'm not used to being on stage like you are. But yeah, so what I saw and what they've told me is that this is a role that I've always played with them in all dimensions and in all lifetimes. I have been this caregiver of these animal frequencies, because one thing that humanity doesn't understand is that animals in other dimensions are not the animals that we have here on Earth. They're not subservient to humans. They're more advanced spiritual beings. And so other races, and I mean by that like extraterrestrial races, have animals in their environment and on their planet, but they are perceived and as higher dimensional beings.
They're kind of held in a higher regard.
Higher regard, and they will counsel with them to try and improve themselves. So animals in other dimensions are much more advanced than, you know, the humanoids in that dimension. And so they are revered as leaders and spiritual advisors. And so this is my role that I have always played with them. Although I was, when I got the astrological reading, she told me, "You are so undercover. You don't know who you are." And that's what she meant. And this is before we even knew anything about my path. This is who I am. I've always been their guardian and their spokesperson. And I'm the one at the door checking everybody's past that wants to go and meet with them, right?
Wow.
And I actually got to visit myself in this parallel universe doing this very thing. So that was incredibly beautiful to be able to see that, because I also got to see what other animals are in different dimensions. We have different animals over there than we do here.
Oh, was that through a dream or through the hypnosis or
a meditation?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
so...
actually she came to me first in a dream. And you know, sometimes you have dreams where the brain is processing. And then other times when you're dreaming, you're actually astral traveling. And I had traveled to her dimension and visited with her. And I asked my mentor, I said, "How can I get back there? I've got more questions."
Yeah, I need more information.
I need to talk to her again, you know? And so he told me how to do it in meditation. And I did.
Wow. And is it sort of like you not realizing what was going, you know, what was going on until, you know, fairly recently?
Yeah.
Is that like just a divine timing thing? Like they revealed it when you were ready?
Well, it was more than that, because it's more about the timing of the planet and the timing of the race. I had a brain surgery back in 1994.
Oh my gosh.
And during that surgery, I actually went into counsel with my guides. And at that point,
oh, like out of body.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I actually saw myself leave. At that point we were deciding it was an exit point, a possible exit point.
Oh, like you could just be like, "I'm done."
Yeah. Yeah, we were trying to decide whether to keep me in play, because they said it's going to be a long time yet before you're able to be activated. Are you sure you want to do this? Because my life was not pleasant and all that's in the book.
So they were giving you an out.
Yeah, they were giving me an out. And I said, "No, put me back in. I'm ready. I'm committed." And so ever since that surgery, that was 30 years ago, I haven't been able to sleep at night because I've been like, "When is it? When's it coming?
Yeah, when's my big thing?" Did that, because you said that, you know, life was not, you know, sunshine and rainbows in.
Yeah.
Did that experience, was that like your beacon of hope of like, okay, like on when things were bad?
Well, you know, I didn't know any of this consciously. I didn't understand it until I was writing the book. I just knew something. I was here for a reason. I've always known I'm here for a reason. It's a big reason. I didn't know what. So I'm a soldier. I've always been a soldier, and I was determined I was going to make it through no matter what it looked like. So no matter how horrible my life was, how hard it was, I just kept pushing forward. I didn't know why, but I just kept pushing.
Wow. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. When I look back now, it's beautiful, but back then it was not very much fun.
You're like, "I'm tired of the lessons."
Yeah. Give me some rainbows, you know.
I know. Could we just get a little bit of healing? I know. God, it's so funny to get to a feeling of awareness, like that moment that I think a lot of us experience of like, okay, I know that these are lessons that are setting me up for something.
Yeah.
But then, you know, another shitty thing happens and you're like, "I get it. Enough." Yeah.
Like I thought I was done with that already.
Can we move on to the positive part?
Right, right.
Do you think that the ability to, you know, be in contact with these spirit guides, hear their message, is this something that could be developed by anyone over time?
It will be taught. I've been shown that I'm going to be setting up schools to teach it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be teachable at some point. I've got to get them all out into the world first. You know, there's over 50, and the first book only has the first four in it. They call themselves the core four, and the next book will have the essential eight. So, you know, as people get used to, more accustomed to them and used to their frequency, then more and more will come out at a time.
Oh, wow. And have you been in contact with all of them, or are they still being revealed to you and brought into
you? They're giving me little previews of the next eight. So I haven't met all of them yet. No, it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah. But they did they also give you the message of, you know, we're going to introduce you to eight more, but like hold off until you have eight, because that'll be the way to deliver.
They just give me a little preview. So they say the next group will be eight. They'll be called the Essential Eight. So I have kind of I've had a download of two or three already. I think just a brief download, nothing detailed. I just haven't had time to devote to it because I've been trying to get this book promoted and get the word out, but their frequency is very, very high. And so we need to be able to hold the frequency of the first four before we can start working with the rest of them. So a lot of people, when they read my book, you know, the frequency of the guides is in the book. And so if it's too much frequency for you, you're going to fall asleep and not be able to stay focused because your nervous system will shut down. It kind of has a fail safe circuit. I can't remember what that's called. The one in the bathroom. I don't remember what they call that.
It's just like that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So your nervous system will shut down because it's more frequency than you're used to holding on to.
So you're like overwhelmed.
And yeah, it gets overwhelmed. So as you get through the book and sometimes you'll have to read it more than once or twice or three times to build your tolerance for it, because it's working with you while you're reading the book or listening to it on Audible, you know, however you do it. But as we get more and more people that can hold that kind of frequency, we're going to get more and more of the guides coming through.
Wow, that's amazing. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about these core four and then, you know, what people can be doing to, you know, raise their frequency to be prepared to, you know, get these messages and get this healing. Awesome. We'll be right back, you guys.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, we are back, and we were just talking about, you know, how these energies come in and they can be a very high frequency that people aren't used to. So before we go into, I would love to, you know, hear a little bit about these four initial energies that came in. But for those people listening who are already like, I want in, I want to know, how can I communicate, or how can I receive these messages? What are things, and I think this is helpful in general, even if they're not specifically, you know, people aren't trying to, you know, channel these guides, but what are things people can do in their daily life to raise their frequency?
Oh, that is a loaded question right there. That's the $1 million question. Yeah. So that's a really important question too, because a lot of people are trying to raise their frequency, but they're forgetting the first step. And the first step to holding more frequency and energy is to dump the tanks.
I was just going to say, or what can they let go of to get rid of?
Yeah. So the lower vibrational frequencies take up room in our energetic field and in our bodies as injuries and illnesses and negative thoughts and memories and, you know, you name it, karma, trauma, all of that stuff lives in our physical body if it's in our energetic body. So we have to clear that first. And that's what they did with me. That was the whole process of writing the book, was they came in and they go, you got this, you got that, let's just get rid of it. So we have to heal that first. And that's really not a hard process. You know, we've been trained, we've been brainwashed into thinking that healing takes time. It's a process. We have to understand it. We have to understand why we feel the way we feel and who did what to us. And they're just saying, that's just baloney. You don't need to know any of that. We're going to tell you what needs to be done, and we're just going to take it. And the longer we spend trying to understand it, the longer we are separated from ourselves, the longer we are separated from our healing. So the first thing we need to do in order to hold the frequency or hold the energy or elevate our frequency is to heal. And that's what they do for people. But you can start that process by developing a meditation practice, learning how to meditate. And meditation isn't as hard as you think, because let me tell you, I don't like to meditate. And one thing that I always thought about meditation was that it's all about sitting still and quiet and zeroing out your mind, which never worked for me at all. What they taught me to do was how to use my mind to my advantage in a meditation. So my meditations are all very active and purposeful. And I have a meditation course on my website that people can access that will teach you how to do that, because meditation in and of itself is not the goal. It's a tool to teach you how to access the higher realms, how to access your higher consciousness, how to access the healing entities that are here to help us heal. So it's not about sitting there and being quiet. It's about getting to a certain place in your meditation so that then you can just leap into another dimension with it and use it as a tool.
Wow. So it's almost like even that part of meditation that is sort of developing the skill of maybe trying to quiet the mind is more for making room for the more important things to come in, that there's just too much day-to-day.
And the hardest part I would say about meditation is, like I described already, is taming the ego, because the ego is going to question everything. So that's probably the hardest part for people when they meditate, because the brain won't shut up, right? It just keeps running these tapes, or it keeps replaying your day, or you keep thinking about what you need to do. But that's okay. Like that's just a fleeting second of the meditation. Just be like, yeah, whatever, and just continue on. Don't fight it, right?
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself down because you had that thought. Who cares?
You just come back to your breath or to whatever you were focused on.
Come back to your breath, or come back to your vision or whatever you're working on. But that's the hardest part, is learning how to disengage from the ego. So I would say the first two things we have to do in order to develop the skills is to heal and divorce the ego. Because the ego serves only if our life is in danger.
Yeah. And
that's the only reason we have the ego.
Yeah. And it's really doing a lot of overtime work now that we're in a place where we're not constantly on the run from. Now it's perceiving other things as danger when it's.
We've given it too much power over us. And it needs to be tamed and, put a collar on the sucker and tell it to sit in the corner,
Yeah. It's so true. Cause I remember even when I did a 10-day silent meditation, which was a bold move for someone who had not been meditating at all. But I'm of course the lunatic who goes like, well, why not dive in all the way? And I remember on day two or three, having like the thought in my head of like, I'm doing it. I'm meditating. Everything else is quiet. And I'm like, well, then I'm now just celebrating. I'm not meditating. I'm just thinking about meditating. And I had to, of course, like get through that to even get to, whatever my experience was that was next, which I've you know, talked about in the past, but nothing to this capacity.
Right.
But that's good. It's, I think that's a good reminder for people. And I always, when I talk about meditation, talk about it, you know, it's a practice. And I like to think of it the same as when I do a physical workout. It's like, yeah, you're not going to show up and I'm not going to deadlift 400 pounds. You're not going to sit there and immediately go into, I'll never deadlift 400 pounds probably. But yeah, you're not immediately going to go into this like higher consciousness the first time you sit down. It's like, okay, start with the 5 pound weights, yeah, do a couple, you know, you're just, yeah, can you meditate for 1 minute, you know? So I love that. I love that people have a tool of like, where do I begin to even, yeah, be open to this? And when you talk about like letting go and the constant need to ask why, I think because of the way we've socially thought about healing and therapy, as you said, with this, like, let's pull it apart, we really, mm-hmm, take for granted the fact that when you are examining a trauma, a past thing, your body's reliving it and like you're not letting go of it. And there is, of course, it's easy to go like, just let go. And people who are struggling with that will go, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But I just guess I said all that to agree with you on the stop asking why. That was a, yeah, big aha moment for me when I went to, it wasn't even a therapist. It was a woman who does this very unique modality called the Grinberg method, but it was effectively kind of like an acupressure. Uh-huh. And she just kept, she's like, you know, like poking on pressure points, but she kept like tapping my head right here. Cause I've had 11s since I was a toddler, just being like, why, what's going on here? What's that? Like I needed to the explanation for everything. And she would just be like, don't worry about why it feels like that. Just, it feels like that. That's that.
Yeah. That's the ego judging, right?
Yeah. That, like what's that
judgment on it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. We can't just let something be and go, oh, that's okay. Well, that's happening.
Yeah.
And we'll go, why am I crying? Why am I sad? Why am I angry? It's like, well, just let the feeling come up.
Yeah.
So these four guides, can you give us a little brief kind of overview on who they are and what their messages are?
Oh, I'd love to. So this is Anthea. She's the first one. And she is the golden retriever and the cheetah. And so the breed, the dog breeds that they identify with, as well as the wild animal, are very significant to what they have to share and what sort of things they work on with humanity. So she helps to connect humanity with our divine joy and self-love, because that's what the golden retriever is all about.
Yeah. And I was like, cheetah, makes sense.
Yeah. And the cheetah is very efficient and really picks and chooses what to spend energy on. So there's a lot of power coming out of her. And she literally connected me back to my self-love, because I had hated myself my whole life and I didn't even know it. So she helped to heal all of that. She's a beautiful guide. She's very motherly. And a lot of my clients work with her because there's so much self-love that needs to be reconnected in this world.
Yes.
And the second guide is, this is Oscar. He's a masculine guide. He identifies with the black and tan coonhound and the lion. So he's all about identifying with your own voice, you know, so being able to speak your voice and understand your voice and carry your voice and your own courage, holding your own energy. And he literally, two of my dogs that I had carried Oscar, and he literally carried my energy because I was so devastated. I could not carry myself. Aww. And there's some beautiful stories about those dogs with him throughout my life that literally just carried my voice for me, because I could not, as a child, I was powerless. I couldn't speak my voice. I couldn't even understand my own voice. So he's an incredible, he's very soft, even though he's powerful, his voice is very soft. It's hard to hear him sometimes because he's just like, He's kind of like Aslan in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's what he reminds me of. You remember those stories?
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, the lion in that story. But this is the third guide. This is Oregon. She is very, very powerful. She's a big jump from the first two energetically.
Wow.
So when people get to work with her, they are really ready. They've cleared the tanks. They've dumped the tanks, and they're ready to connect to their own divine soul. She is the Basenji and the Black Panther. And Ooh. She's very magical. I had one incredible dog with that carried this spirit guide. And that's my favorite section of the book. And that's why she's on the cover of the book. But she connects us with our own divine soul. And we can't do that until we've already talked about we dump the tanks. And that's what she did with me. I'd never met my soul before. Never been in that energy before. It was the most magnificent place I'd ever been. Never wanted to leave. I thought I was in the presence of God. You know, I was like, this is incredible.
Wow.
And I was told it was my own soul. I'm like, well, how big is God then? Because that was amazing. You know, it totally reset my understanding of what everything was, because
it's magical.
I just never thought that I could be that incredible. And so I know that people have never met their own soul, and that's what she's here to introduce us to. She Wow. also will remove our masks that we wear, because we walk around on this planet pretending to be somebody that we're not, because Mm-hmm. we're either afraid or we don't even know ourselves. So in ceremony or in sessions with my clients, she will literally tell me what mask they are wearing. I'll see exactly what it looks like, where they're carrying it, what body part it's shielding, and what its purpose is, to either protect or portray. And she'll then remove that mask so that that person can see themselves for the first time ever. And the world can also experience their full beauty for the first time ever. It's really beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, now, she sounds magical.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, this is Daman Yararan Erik. And thankfully, I can call him Erik. He is the creme de la creme of the Core Four. He is the most magical. I met him for the first time during an ayahuasca ceremony.
Ooh,
he is magnificent. He identifies with the pug and the bald eagle. And the dogs that carry his energy are very recognizable because they do not like to be touched.
That's so funny.
The bald eagle is meant to be admired from afar. He continuously tells me, because I have one of his dogs here now. She's like, don't touch me.
Get you away from me.
But don't touch me. he helps to connect us to our intergalactic version of ourselves. So he opens the doors, like for people who have never taken that journey intergalactically.
Look at my dog's popping up. I'm listening. Look,
she's like, huh? She's like, I want to do that. She's a little too affectionate though, I think.
Yeah. Don't worry, you'll get there.
Yeah. But he helps, and he's the reason why I progress so quickly through all of the intergalactic realms, because he actually guards over us while we travel spiritually. And he also makes sure that we get to where we want to go in the various realms.
Oh, wow.
And he connects us to that part of ourselves. I didn't know I was an intergalactic being until I did work with him. And I'm like, oh, I've been on that planet and that planet, and I can speak this language and that language. I had no idea, you know?
I love that.
He helps to connect us with that part of ourselves.
That's so, that is so beautiful. And I'm sure the stories you have specifically with each of these, I'm sure are so beautiful.
Oh yeah.
In the book.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about, well, and one of my listeners in the Facebook group had a question about this as well, but I'm like, Moki, come on screen. Are you constantly inundated? Like when you see people, How do you not become overwhelmed? Like, are people's guides constantly around them and you can see them, or do you have to go into a trance state?
No, because I come from the medical field, because I've been a physical therapist for 30 years, I stay out of people's energy. I'm not dipping in other people's energy. So I have, when I'm moving through the world, I have my shields up. I'm in my own little world. I'm minding my own business. I'm not dipping into other people's energy to see what they're about, because I don't want to do that. That's just what I decided where I would stand in this process. So no, and I don't, I might intuitively get a message about somebody, like whether or not they're on the up and up, or, whether they're going through a painful part of their life. Intuitively, it might be like, oh, that person, needs some help right now. That's about the depth of what I get, because I stay out of other people's energy fields. I've had other psychics interview me, and I can tell that they're one of those people that just likes to dip their toe into other people's
just energy. What's going on there? Yeah.
Yeah. And so they'll dip into my energy, and all of a sudden they're spinning. Because I carry the energy of the canine guides, and it's incredibly powerful. And if you're not used to being in the realm of that type of energy, you're going for a ride.
Wow. It's so interesting that experience of a psychic being like, whoa, I'm not what?
She had to literally sit back and ground herself. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty strong, isn't it?
I just love the imagery of you're surrounded by dogs barking her away. Yeah. And she's like, okay, sorry. I'll mind my own business then.
Yeah. That's kind of what it's like. Yeah.
Wow.
And when I met the guys for the first time, I was actually, when I saw them all together for the first time, before I had my clairvoyance and all, I was, I was in a hypnosis, and one of the doors that I opened it up, and there were 100 dogs in there, like all of my own previous dogs that were in there, and they started jumping up and down and barking and spinning. And that was the first time I heard them all speak to me. They gave me a message during that hypnosis, and I just started crying. I had never experienced anything like that. I didn't know I could hear them. And so, yeah. So when you said that, that's what that reminded me of. All the dogs barking. Yeah.
Wow. Shoot. I had a question, and then I got so into what you were saying that I, dang, where is it? Oh, well, I want to ask this because I really struggle to not, I don't think of myself as someone who has psychic abilities per se, but I pick up people's inner, I can feel energy. I don't see or hear anything, but I don't want to. I really take on people's energy. Is there anything you do or you recommend to kind of build a better barrier of not allowing that to happen?
That's actually one of the exercises in my meditation course. I teach people how to shield themselves. And, when I work with other people, it's really important that we're shielded, because we're moving into a cosmic realm. We don't want energies that we don't want coming in on us. So yes, there is a way to shield yourself so that you don't let, because what happens is, do you remember your chemistry? You remember how the electrons on the outer ring, if there's a single electron in the outer ring, it will have to steal an electron from another one. So that it can be balanced and stable.
Yeah.
When you're around people that have a lower energy vibration than you, that's what happens. They walk around stealing
your energy
electrons from other people. And that's why you end up feeling tired or grumpy, or, just not yourself. And that's what happens a lot when you go shopping. You're around all these people, right? And your energy fields are bumping into all these other energy fields. So you have to put your barriers up, your energetic barriers, so people can't go around stealing your energy. They're considered energy vampires. And they don't know they're doing it. It's just, it's physics. It's biology. It's chemistry. I mean, it's just a natural occurrence. Some of them might do it on purpose, but for the majority, most of them don't know they're doing it.
Yeah, it just is where their energy's at. So it's grabbing onto other things. Boy, that was probably a big light bulb above the head for people like me who are listening, who go, yeah, no, every time I go to the grocery store, I need a nap.
Yeah.
It's the most overwhelming thing, going out shopping.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't like crowds. I avoid crowds. But if I have to go into a crowd, I just put my shields up before I walk in the door. I just go shields up.
It's so funny. I love that. Just shields up. It's so funny because I personally obviously have some skill set of doing that, because while I don't like going into just crowded events, I don't feel the same overwhelm when I'm on stage performing. Like there is some sort of kind of either.
It's your focus, right?
Yeah. And it's almost like I'm conducting the energy in a way rather than letting.
You're the maestro.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because that's the best way I've tried to describe it. And I'm like, I know this, if you haven't had the experience, it sounds crazy or even like maybe ego driven, which I don't think of it like as ha ha ha, I'm controlling, but it does feel like you're like running an emotional orchestra when you're on stage where you're just like moving emotions. And that's the best way I can describe it.
So you're up there actually moving energy. So you're in command, you're in charge. So you're controlling how much you give out and how much you retain when you're doing that, because you're acting as a maestro. So you'll make sure, your higher self will make sure that you don't give up too much, because you still have to run the vessel to produce the show, right?
Yeah, which is how I think of when I am having a good show. I do think of, it's like, that's so funny. I do think of myself more as a vessel than anything else. That it's like,
you're channeling that through. You're channeling the energy through and you're delivering it to the audience. I just see this maestro, like a magician, when you're up on your stage. So channeling that, the energy that they're drawing from you on that, in that situation, you're just channeling it through. You're just the vehicle.
I'm just bringing the energy to other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's not your own energy. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Are you okay? Are you able? I'm asking this for people who, someone asked it in the, we have a Facebook group where people, I post guests ahead of time and I go, you know, let me know your questions. And most of them we've already hit. One person asked if there's any spirit guides coming through my dog, Moki, who is a staple of the show, and whether it's through her or me. And if you're not able to do this right now, cause you need to get in a state, that's fine. But is there anything for people watching, and maybe like, it can be a little seed of, this is kind of what you do. Do you see anything with me?
I would have to reconnect with your energy beforehand. I mean, we could certainly set that up if you want to do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, maybe we can set it up and then I'll be able to share that with everyone so that they can get a little preview and
see what your services are like. Because when I read for people, I make sure it's a sacred space that we're both in. You don't have to do it like in the moment. I do it energetically for both of our spirits. So I set up, it's like a ceremony. It's like a sacred ceremony. I set up a space and then I connect with your energy in a clean space. And then I get the download. So, from there, I then meet with the client and I'll say,
you do that all beforehand, right?
Yeah. I do that all beforehand. I'll say, this is what I got. And then at that point we can move in and action the healing that needs to take place. And I'll channel in the spirit guide that wants to work with the person or with you. And we'll channel in the healing right then and there. But I need to be in a clear space so that I don't get anything that doesn't belong to you, or I don't get anything that's not accurate.
That you're misreading. And for anyone who has never, because I've talked to other spirit guides I've done, and I would definitely, I'll hit you up because I'm definitely interested in that. I have seen someone who channels spirit guides before. That's a pretty common occurrence with the people who are doing it. They set aside time because it's so easy if you're someone who, you know, is open to these energies. You need to make sure, you know, you're getting the energy for this person and that like you're not, your ego isn't coming in and misinterpreting. Right. And so I wanted to ask that either way so that people can kind of hear how you're doing your sessions, especially because I'm sure there's people listening who are, you know, ears are perked and going like, well, I want to get involved in this type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very powerful session. And most people are really tired afterwards because there's a lot of energy moving through. So it takes time to integrate all of the healing that happens in the session, which is another reason you might not want to do it on the air, because you might be like,
yeah, I just pass out. would you be down to, if I did a session with you, would you be okay if I recorded and like released it? If I don't pass out on, because I think like that would be cool to show people.
Yeah, that would be fine with me as long as it's fine with you.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, that's a separate thing we're going to set up, but so everyone's listening, I'm already invested in this. I'm down for the cause. I want to tap into your skills and your gifts and your services. It's about time to wrap up, but something I do want to ask is, for someone who, you know, the listener who's out there who may not realize that they are in a similar position to where you were before you, you know, realized what was happening, before you, you know, had your awakening and kind of really downloaded, like, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, what are things someone can, I guess, look out for, or like notice that are kind of signs that this is going on, that you're getting communicated with through, like, by a higher frequency or a guide?
Yeah. So the biggest sign for me was that feeling of hopelessness. You know, there's so many of us now that feel that way, you know, like the world is a terrible place. You know, there's nothing happy anymore. And that's a real common theme right now. Or if you're feeling enraged, because there's a lot of rage going around. So it can be any number of heavy emotions. If you feel heavy, then that's a sign that you need to tune in. There's powerful healing attempting to connect with you when you feel that way. Or another big one that I see is when you feel agitated. When other people agitate you, or if you just have this general feeling of agitation, then there's huge healing that's knocking at your door. And when people make me feel agitated, the first thing I ask myself and my spirit, I'll say, what is it I need to heal right now? Because this person is activating it.
Yeah.
This event is setting something off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, the sign that you don't have anything that you need to do at the moment is when you feel completely calm and peaceful in the midst of chaos, then you're good.
Then you've done the work.
You've done the work. So how many of us feel that way in the midst of chaos? How many of us can watch TV and not get agitated about the war and the crime and the stealing and the government? When that activates you, there's healing. There's very deep healing that needs to happen around that, because you should be able to see it and go, yeah, I understand that people are hurting right now, but that's not my experience. That's not for me, right? So when you can distance yourself, and I'm not talking about a coldness.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about being inhuman. I'm talking about you not being like your emotions not being spiked.
And you not being bogged down or so affected by it that, because I think that's a big thing, is that you can't help someone from that state. You can't be a source of healing when you're activated like that.
Right. Thank you for saying that, because that's so true. And right now with everything that's going on in the world, the best thing we can do is elevate ourselves. Elevate our frequency. And the more we feel bad for other people, the more we try and empathize with what's going on, that lowers our energy. So that's not what we need right now. We need to keep our energy elevated. We need to keep our joy. And the more joyful people there are on the planet, the more the whole frequency will rise.
Wow. That is such a beautiful nugget of information.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's what it really comes down to. I mean, you can go, yes, I know this is going on. Yes, I know that's going on. We need to make a change. But the first step in the change, like the kids right now are being told, be the change. Well, you be the change by keeping your happiness, keep your peace, your joy. Hold on to that frequency. You don't want to join the lower frequencies.
Yeah. Because you can't lift people up from the bottom.
No, right. You got it. Absolutely.
Wow. That's beautiful and very poignant. And I think so many of us needed to hear that and be reminded to hold on to and or pursue our joy. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're about out of time, but I wanted to take a moment for you to let people know how they can find you, you know, how they can... you know, your services, how to get your book. And I know you mentioned you have an event coming up that maybe you want to share and plug for everyone.
Yeah. So you can find me on my webpage, heatherleestrom.com. And also I'm all over YouTube, Heather Lee Strom. And I do also have my own podcast where I channel in messages from the canine spirit guides. And then we do healing around that message during my podcast. You can check that out. Also, I do private healing sessions with a single canine guide. And I also do mentoring programs. So it's called an immersion program, which is about a 3-month process where you go through a layering of healing and you work with as many guides as you are appropriate for within that six session, 3-month program. It's pretty intense.
Oh, it sounds like it.
Yeah, but it's incredible. And also I have the meditation mini course on my webpage that will teach you the skills that you need to begin to get connected so that you can start to commune with your own higher self, your own spirit guides, your God or your spirit, whatever you want to connect with, the earth. And one of the sessions we actually connect with the trees. It's really cool. So check that out if you're interested in that. And then I always have events coming up. I'm doing group events now. And Yay. For the moment, they're virtual. We will eventually have some in-person group events where we investigate and heal with one guide at a time. So depending on the length of the workshop, we might get two guides in or we might get all four. And of course, as more guides come out, we'll be dealing with even more and more guides. So it's going to be into a whole week-long process at some point.
Wow.
But so I do have those group opportunities and all that information is on my webpage. I'm on TikTok, Canine Spirit Guides, also Facebook page. And there is a book website that goes into detail about all the canine guides. You can see their pictures. You can see their videos. You can also see the dogs in my life that they came through as. And so there's nice little stories there for you to experience. And that address is caninespiritguides.com.
Awesome. Well, for everyone listening or watching on YouTube, it's all going to be linked in the show notes. So look below or check out your phone and there'll be easy links for you to click on. And there's obviously so many resources and so much you're putting out there. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome.
And just thank you for channeling this wisdom for us, Heather Lee. And thank you for stopping by.
My pleasure to meet everyone.
Yay. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That concludes this week's episode of Ignorance is Blessed. I hope you enjoyed the guest. Do you have follow-up thoughts, follow-up questions? Get in the Facebook group and start a conversation. Ignorance is hashtag blessed idiots on Facebook. You can search for it or find it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/JMS comedy. There you can have a chat about this guest. You can ask about future guests. You can suggest future guests. I love it all. Please keep giving suggestions and keep asking questions because the more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thank you for listening. And thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.